Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by actor Owen Mackin. Owen, how's it going?
I'm very good because you're probably one of the three people in the entire world who ever pronounced my name properly. So that was a very impressive start.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it does throw you off. The spelling does throw you off, but a little research definitely helps. And so I saw that it was pronounced.
nice job on the research. The funny thing, I was just in Mexico, and they're doing it. These wonderful people, but they none of them pronounce my name, and they pronounce it with a Spanish accent. It's very amusing because it just becomes something entirely different, which I'm great with, you know.
Absolutely. So, Owen, for our listening audience, I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, how did you first become involved with the world of acting?
I became involved with acting actually when I was in college. I had no interest or experience in film or acting until I went to college, and I wanted to be an athlete, and I wanted to be a writer, and just wanted to write books and be a marine biologist, and they were my kind of three focuses. And then I was studying science, and I couldn't play football because I hurt my knee. And then my buddy and I were walking by the Drama Society, and they were auditioning for this play. And he was like, "We should do a play." And I was like, "That's a terrible idea. Why would we do a play?" And then he just pointed to the line, and there was, you know, about 10 women that were queuing to audition to play, and there's two guys. He was like, "That's why." that makes sense. And then that's what happened. And then once I started doing drama in college, I met various people and started doing photography and filmmaking, and then just decided this was great. Yeah. So it all started inadvertently because of an indirect, of a woman indirectly, not even one specific woman, just general.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it's women are the motivations for a lot of things with us men, and so that's pretty cool that you would actually admit it, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of almost one of those cliches from the 1900s, because, you know, women are the source of all creativity, I guess, in a way, right?
Absolutely. So, Owen, you've done a slew of television, and then a ton of film. Do you have a preference? Do you prefer acting in television over film, or vice versa?
No, it kind of depends. I think it's essentially the same thing when you're actually acting, obviously. But the beauty of doing television is you get to really develop a relationship with people, and you really trust and understand them, and then you get more time with your character. But then the flip side of that is when you do film, it can be a little bit more intense, and that can be great because you're kind of in a wormhole of working for 4 to 8 weeks, and you get to put everything into a very specific character. And in TV, it can kind of stay with you for a longer time, which can be good and bad. But the actual, essential art of it is essentially, you're understanding a character and listening to someone, and that's, that doesn't change.
Absolutely. Have done work on NBC's Night Shift, and it's actually, a really, critically acclaimed primetime show. Do you remember, like, what your feelings were like when you first got casted for the role?
Yeah, I do. It was funny because Night Shift, actually, I was filming Leopard with Tom Hopper at the time. He actually did my screen test with me on set. So I'd done a tape, and I was in Dublin directing the movie, and they asked me to come to Los Angeles to do a screen test. And because it was our second day of filming of seven, I think, which is all we had, and I was like, I can't, because I raised money on the Indiegogo campaign, and I had everybody here, and I had people flying in, like Jack Rayner and Mike Figgis and all these type of things, and I was like, I can't tell everybody to hang around for me for 3 days while I fly to America to do a screen test. So I knew it was a really big opportunity. I love the script, but I just couldn't. So I told them that, and then they wanted me to do a screen test, and I was like, well, I'm actually shooting for like 17 hours a day for the next 6-7 days, and this is, my project. And so it ended up being that, and on the end of the second day, we're on the top of this cliff, and I just said, I handed Tom these sides, and myself and Tom and playing these two entirely different characters. And I just said to my DP and to my cast and crew and everybody, I said, I need 10 minutes and I'm going to buy you all a bottle of wine each. And we stayed until midnight. That always worked. Wine is a wine is a good lubricant to helping ask people for a favor. Uh-huh. And and then, so yeah, we shot the scenes on top of the cliff and it looked super cool. She shot it on the, you know, the red epic camera, and we had all on white screen and all the sound was done properly and we're all in costume in a way, and you know, the wind is blowing, and I did my audition scenes in and sent it off, and then the end of filming was pretty much when I got the part of Night Shift. It was all a very happy little marriage of one of those things happening in life.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It seems like it came together very, very well. I mean, a little hectic at first, but I mean, it seems like it came together quite well. I want to kind of transition a little bit and talk about your film, Leopard. So I've seen the screener for it, and it's amazing. And what also stands out to me is not only that it's a great film, but you know, you actually wrote this, directed it, and starred in it. And so I wanted to have you talk a little bit about the film for the people that haven't seen the film. What can you tell them about it?
Well, yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad you like it. It's a dark, thriller about two brothers in the west of Ireland, and it's kind of got some drawing some strands from Paris, Texas, and a little bit from the Wicker Man and East of Eden, and you know, these two brothers find a body on the moors of this girl. And it sets off this chain of events where, you know, you're not sure what happened to her. There's a lot of mystery to it, but there's a lot more to it because Tom's character is similar to Lenny from Mice and Men, and he's got some mental capacity issues. And previously, my character, the brother, had had to leave the village because of the death of this girl. So there's all this kind of complicated situation where you're not sure what's happened to this girl, who's killed her, or is she even dead, or whatever, and it becomes this kind of dark, mysterious thriller, and also about understanding the relationship between these two brothers and family.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we came, like, I'm really proud of it. We're all really proud of it. That, you know, Tom Hopper's in it, and he's fantastic. And you'd know Tom from Black Sails and from Roman and from Barbarians Rising. And he's brilliant because he gives a really subtle performance, which is why I wanted to make it for Tom. We've been doing Merlin together, and we're on set. And I just, whenever I have free time, I like to make things. When you meet people you work with, you go, I want to make something with you. And it kind of, he mentioned wanting to play this type of character. So I wrote a form, and I loved acting with him. So initially I was like, I'm not going to act in this movie because it's so much more difficult. But then I really wanted to act with him because I just liked the two characters, and they kind of made sense, and I didn't want anybody else to play it. So I just did that, you know. And then Jack Rayner came in and did this cool part. I had other, you know, cameos from people, and Maria Kleining and Yari Jabeth, and Michael Yare is in the new film Morgan. So it just all came together in a really nice way.
Man, that is awesome. Would you say, so, you know, with basically putting the film together, you know, you wore so many hats, figuratively speaking, like you had so many roles in the production of the film. Was it, at any point, was the film arduous to make? Was there a time where you felt just sort of overstretched or anything of that sort?
No. Actually, making the film was a joy because we did a campaign on Indiegogo, which is the European equivalent of Kickstarter. And when we raised like $30,000 to make it, and it was great because the fans of Merlin got really heavily invested in helping us make the film. We couldn't have made it otherwise, and it allowed us to. It made it so much more fun because you knew that people really cared about your movie, and it gave it a little bit of a party feel to it because you know we knew people. We're invested in doing this. We'd already shot for a couple of days and showed people sort of a trailer, and that kind of gave us all a huge kick. But making it, you know, when you're acting with friends of yours, and it's like, I had Mike Figgis in, for example, who I'd just done a movie with, and he just directed me in a movie, and then he was now being in my movie. And I had this great sound guy who I'd worked with, and I had these great costume people and everything, and when you have people who you like and you trust, it takes away all the pressure because everyone knows what they're doing and they also are able to enjoy themselves doing it, so it doesn't become stressful. And, you know, when you get people who are really talented, who understand what they're doing, then, and they're also nice people, it just makes it a joy because that's, you know, you're making films because that's why you're involved in this business in the first place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that kind of brings me to my next question, but you've done so much, and kind of going back to, you know, your resume, you know, you've done a ton of television, you've done film, and like your film is so diverse. You've done drama, you've done horror, you've done action, adventure, sci-fi. Is there a particular, would you say there's like a particular drama, or excuse me, not drama, but a particular genre of film that you like more? Like, do you prefer period pieces over sci-fi, or you just kind of...
God, you know, I don't know, because it really depends. It's funny, because when I did Killing Jesus for National Geographic, that was... You obviously, you don't play that in the same way as you're playing an American character in Resident Evil.
Right.
You know, because there's a slightly different... Yeah, because, you know, it's slightly different stuff happening around you. It's fun to kind of change it up, because then you're in a different kind of space and a different kind of arena to work in, and the characters have different motivations that come from a different era. But there's nothing in particular. You know, I think if you're doing all the same thing, you'd end up as an actor, as a person, either becoming overly confident, which would manifest in a bad way, or you might get bored. And that's the whole. So I'm lucky enough to be working. Is that you get to do different things, and then when you get to kind of play a different role, you're like, this is great. So the arrogant narcissist in me would always want to do some kind of, you know, weird, messed up, dramatic role where you get to kind of explore some strange part of your psyche, but that might not be as interesting as doing kind of a lighter, more, you know, an adventure film with a little bit of comedy. That mightn't be as interesting for people to watch. And also, if you did all that, you might end up a little bit messed up. So it's good to vary it up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of Killing Jesus, you know, that was, you know, I think that was definitely a role that was, you know, I would say that was like more so like out of the box for you, because I don't think, I mean, you'd done Centurion and a couple other films, you know, you've done Merlin, but what was it like playing, because you played Herod Antipas, I know I'm butchering his name, and he was, you know, he was definitely an enemy of Jesus, you know, he didn't, you know, history says that he didn't really care for Jesus. What was it like preparing for that role and, you know, having to deal with, you know, being such a villainous character?
That was a lot of fun. I initially actually screen tested with the it was, seriously, you know. Because I initially screen tested with the director for the part of Jesus, and then Hans got it. And Hans was so much more wonderful than I would have been. But he and I love him dearly. But he when I was then asked to play Herod Antipas, because he was essentially one of the villains of the piece, and you know, when I heard I got to work with Emmanuel and Kelsey, then the Kelsey family, Emmanuel Shriek, I was like, cool, this is going to be awesome. But it was actually a lot of fun having to get into the mindset of this character who thought that he was in the right, and then the more I played with him, the more I realized he was under pressure from all these things he just didn't understand. So it's in a way you get to kind of explore the reasons for why people do these terrible things. Like Herod Antipas is one of the people who you know, eventually sent Jesus to be crucified. He's involved in that very heavily, and put the crown of thorns on him, etc. But when you get to explore why somebody does something, it's not as black and white as just, this guy's really evil. This is a guy who's trying to do what he thinks he needs to do and is trying to survive. And it's always interesting to look at that, because then you can, I guess, then in life you can understand when you see people doing things you think are inherently negative, you realize it's not as simple as that. There's a reason why. And I guess then I can cross over into, if you want to try and, you know, fix things with people or with the world, you realize it's about having a dialogue and making them see something as opposed to having a conflict with them. So playing a part like that makes it interesting, because you get to really try and understand I have to make him sympathetic, otherwise I can't play him with any truth or veracity. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think you definitely, like, summed that up really well, because, you know, I guess, you know, growing up and going to, you know, like, Sunday school or church or mass or whatever, you know, you get this one picture of Herod. But, I mean, like you said, there's different motivations, you know, that individuals have that, you know, a lot of times we just don't know. And the beauty of film is, like, you can explore those motivations, you know, a person's motivations behind their actions, which is really, really neat, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to agree with it, but you have to find some, you know. But you have to search hard to find some reason why you can connect with playing that person. Otherwise, you're not doing the job properly. And I think that forces you to research stuff more. And also, I think it opens you up to not being as dogmatic about certain ideas. You know, I think it's for myself anyway, as a person, I feel this true, because it makes you more aware of people in the world around you. And I think that's what's interesting about certain depictions in films and books and so forth, is because it opens your eyes. You don't just see things in a certain way. Like, obviously, I went to a Catholic school, Jesuit school, and of course Herod Antipas is this terrible, terrible character, which of course he was, but doing the film made me have to explore the reasons why he is that way. And that's important for people to have, you know, consider in certain things, not all the time, but certain things.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to kind of transition again, but you also spent some time as a model, you know, most notably for Abercrombie and Fitch and also Ralph Lauren.
Why would you do this to me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to ask, do you miss modeling? You know, because I know you're so involved with the world of acting now.
Well, you know what? Well, listen, I don't mind with the modeling. One of the first films I made was a documentary, which I managed to sell to Tyrus Television. And myself and my buddy made that on the modeling industry and on photography. And we tried to explore photography and the art of that within fashion. And that was one of the first things that kind of helped me understand about filmmaking. And for modeling, I was looking to do that during college and after college, and that basically paid for me to go to acting school in New York, and it paid for me to go to study cinematography. So I was able to study cinematography in Dublin and simultaneously be modeling, which paid my bills. And I also met some great people, and I learned about photography. And there's a lot of a pain in the ass about it, and there's a lot of it's a weird materialistic world, but I look at all the positives out of it, and I just had a really, really interesting time and just kind of, you know, use that. I think myself and a photographer buddy of mine made a feature film in New York called Dreaming for You, and that was when I was there modeling and he was doing fashion shoots. And in between, we ended up shooting this film together with all these, you know, all these guys in my acting class. And I would never do that if I wasn't in New York modeling at the time, so... You know, I think everything goes hand in hand. You know, and at the same time, I mean, God, look, I also ended up in like serial commercials, and I got teased all the time by my friends, and that was good because then we had more stuff to talk about in the bar.
Absolutely, absolutely. oh, excuse me. So, I believe post production is wrapped on the film Resident Evil. Did you have fun making that? I know it's a zombie sci-fi thriller.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I did. That was one of the best experiences I've ever had. I was just in New York Comic Con, so they pretty much finished the movie, and I saw it a couple of weeks ago with Paul, the director, and it's awesome. You know, I've always been a fan of the Resident Evil movies, and the first one was my favorite, but this one blows them all out of the water. It's so good. It's got this Mad Max dystopian feel to it, and it just keeps on going, and it's just there's so much in this movie. And I just had a great time. I mean, Mila Jovovich and Ali Lardo and stuff are just they're just the coolest people to work with. So I was and I got this great character which was a little bit of everything in terms of the complexities of them, especially being in this type of kind of action horror movie. So I was I was really lucky to do that.
Very nice. Now, Owen, I want to go back to your film, Leopard. I know that it was released at the end of September. I just saw it about a week ago. But where can our listening audience purchase this film and see it?
Well, thank you. At the moment, it's currently released on Amazon and on iTunes in the US. So if you go into iTunes or Amazon, you'll get it. And yeah, please support it, because we've been a slow build up of a release with it, and it's gone really well so far, and people have responded really well. And thank you for saying such nice things about it. So yeah. iTunes and Amazon, and then we're hoping to do further, you know, worldwide release coming up to after Christmas.
Very nice. Okay, and I wanted to ask you now, Owen. You know, you've been in a ton of movies and films, but for people watching your films or your television shows, what is the biggest takeaway that you want them to get from your work?
That I'm having fun. And that I know I'm lucky enough to do this, and that's why I'm having fun. So I appreciate all of it.
Absolutely. Man, that is awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, when you stop having fun doing it, it becomes very, very apparent. And it, you know, the audience can tell. Obviously, you can tell. And so the fact that you're still, you know, having fun, that you're still immersed in your work, says that you love your craft, you love what you do. And so you can't beat that.
Well, I think you got it right. I mean, doing anything in this creative stuff, I mean, is a lot of graft, as you know. And some stuff works and some stuff doesn't. But then, when you're doing stuff that does work, you got to enjoy it, right? And that's the whole point.
Yep, that is. That's, you're so right. You're absolutely right. Well, Owen, I want to. Oh, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No. Go on. Go do
this. Oh, I just wanted to say thank you so much. I mean, I really appreciate you coming on today's show and talking to us. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Oh, good. This has been a great interview, I have to say. It's been really, really nice talking to you. You've asked me pretty much across the spectrum. No, I mean, I guess the only thing I want to say to the audience is if they can support the film, and then, you know, hopefully they like it, because making indie films can be difficult. And it's, you know, I'm thankful that we managed to get a release. Because that is the hardest thing, is completing a film, and it ended up becoming more about everyone else who made the film rather than me, because I want they put in a lot of time and work, and you want that to work out so people can be proud of it. And it's just, with this film, it's about, you know, we tried to make something that we really cared about, and it's just a really beautiful little film, so we just really want people to see it. So yeah, Leopard, Amazon and iTunes, please check it out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Owen.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you.
You're welcome. No problem. Likewise. Guys, that was actor Owen Macon. Make sure to check out his newest film, Leopard. It's available now at Amazon and iTunes. We'll put the link to the purchase, to where you can purchase the film, in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your mobile phone or your mobile device. You can download the Stitcher Smart Radio app, available for free in the Google Play as well as the iTunes Store. Download the app, search for our show name. It's Redefining the Counterculture. Android users, have no fear. We are available in the Google Play Music Store. You can search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Owen. You can stream it live. You can download it, share it with your friends. Leave a comment and subscribe, all free of charge.